Hello and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. We hope that Thanksgiving brings you lots to be thankful for this year. This week we have two comedy shows with a Thanksgiving theme because we can all use a laugh. We have the sitcom Life of Riley, and then we'll have the irreverent wordplay of Abbott and Costello. Plus, a 5-minute bonus track of Fanny Bryce as Baby Snooks on Thanksgiving. In Life of Riley, William Bendix plays the blundering dad with aplomb, and we can use his catchphrase that was popular all over the country during World War II. What a revolting development this is! Enjoy the Life of Riley, Turkey Hunt, first broadcast November 19th, 1944 on ABC.
Here he is. In the movie Wake Island, he was a Brooklyn Marine. In Abroad with Two Yanks, he's Biff the Private. But tonight, he's just another American citizen looking forward to good old Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, and I got plenty to be thankful for. This year, our family's going to have a turkey filled with chestnuts. When I was a kid, we had a chestnut filled with turkey.
The American Meat Institute presents William Bendix in The Life of Riley. And later during our show, we'll have a special visit from your favorite Hollywood correspondent, Jimmy Fiddler. And now, on behalf of all those engaged in supplying meat to the nation, the American Meat Institute presents The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. The Rileys have just witnessed a performance of a Thanksgiving play at the high school, and right now they're waiting for their daughter Babs outside the stage door.
Why, I thought the play was fine, especially the way Babs played Priscilla.
Yeah, Babs was good. And I got a laugh when Captain Miles Standish's beard fell off. Boy, was his face nude.
Oh, if I was Priscilla, I'd sooner marry Miles Standish than Elmer Gillis.
But the Gillis boy was playing John Alden. She had to marry him. That's history.
Now, wait a minute. If they were so stuck on getting history into it, answer me this. Where was Nathan Hale?
Nathan Hale wasn't a pilgrim. Pop, you're all mixed up.
Junior, a little respect, please. I know history, too. Nathan Hale was the fellow who said, "I regret that I have but one wife to give to my country."
Riley, if you see any of Babs' teachers, don't talk history with them.
Believe me, that play wasn't history. And that Elmer wasn't a pilgrim. He was a grim pill. What an actor. He ain't got enough life in him to play a dead body, that guy.
Quiet, Riley.
Huh?
Here's Elmer's father.
Well, if I ain't the Riley.
Oh, hello, Gillis. I was just saying how your boy Elmer played John Alden. Great!
Thanks. And whatever you've been saying about my boy Elmer's acting goes double for your daughter Babs.
Oh, dear.
Those pilgrims sure lived in romantic days. Sometimes I wish we'd been born in those days.
If we had, we'd be pretty old by now, huh?
I suppose you might have married Captain Miles Standish instead of me, huh, Peg?
Well, it depends, Riley. You think you could have kept it in fresh turkeys like John Alden kept Priscilla?
Well, sure. I know how to shoot a gun. Remember the time we had a shooting match down at Cohen's farm? Didn't I shoot the cigar right out of Muley Durkin's mouth?
Well, sure you did. But the target was a tin can on a fence.
Was it?
Yes, Riley. If I was a turkey, I wouldn't be worried when you came around.
Well, there's a woman's logic for you. Look, Peg, we're married, ain't we? If you was a turkey, I'd be a turkey, too, and turkeys don't go around shooting each other.
Now, you take me, Riley. Every year, I go up to Antelope Valley. I shoot a gobbler for Thanksgiving.
Oh, you do?
Well, sure. Ask my wife.
You hear that, Riley?
What he can do, I can do.
Huh?
Well, sure you can. Just the same, I'm getting our turkey from Jake's Market.
Now, listen. Hey, Peg, where you going?
Oh, I'll be right back. I'm just going inside to see what's eating Babs.
Oh, wait a minute. I'll go with you, Mom.
Look, Gillis. What's the idea of tearing me down in front of my wife? Telling them cock and bullet stories about shooting turkeys, huh?
Well, it's true. If I'm lying, may I never see my landlord again.
I still don't believe you.
On the level, Riley. See, every Thanksgiving up in Antelope Valley, they have a big turkey shoot. The best 10 scores win a turkey. It's only $1 a try. And with $5, you're sure to win one.
Oh, I can win a turkey at a shooting match, huh?
Well, sure, it's a cinch. And Digger Odell, the undertaker, he'd lend you his cabin he's got up there.
Well, that'd be perfect. But look, supposing a guy, naming no names, but suppose that this guy couldn't shoot so good and he wanted to show his wife he was a good shot. Suppose this guy loses in the match.
I know one man, again, naming no names, he happens to be my children's father. This guy, if he loses in the shoot, he buys a turkey from some guy who wins.
Oh, I get it, Gillis, yeah. Well, the first thing tomorrow, I'm seeing Digger Odell and talking turkey. Good morning, Digger. Glad to find you home. How's my favorite undertaker?
Glad to see you, Riley. You're looking fine. Very natural.
I feel good. Say, Digger, I got a favor to ask you about Thanksgiving.
Ah, Thanksgiving. Roast turkey, cranberry sauce, gravy. I adore Thanksgiving. It's so gay.
Yeah, well, I want to prove to my wife that I'm a good shot, so could I borrow your place up in Antelope Valley this Thanksgiving, please? Huh?
Certainly, Riley. Glad to be of help in your hour of need. In my profession, we have a slogan. The good that you do to people will come back to you in the end. And so will the people. Riley, you'll enjoy my ranch.
Ranch? Say, how big is this place of yours?
It's a mile long by 15 feet wide. The land used to belong to a railroad, but they moved over to straighten the track.
Well, that's a kind of an odd shape, though, isn't it?
Yes, long and narrow, but very comfortable.
Yes, I
personally, I adore it. The wide open spaces, the bracing air, the smell of wood smoke to sharpen the appetite. It makes you feel so alive.
Well, I gotta be going. And thanks for everything, Digger.
Cheerio, Riley. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie.
Since you ask me, Riley, I think spending Thanksgiving in the woods is silly.
But you love Digger's Ranch. The house is filled with wide-open spaces. You've got to brace yourself against the fresh air because your lungs are filled with wood smoke. And it makes you feel as if you were alive.
Well, maybe. But I still think we better stay home on Thanksgiving.
Oh, nothing doing. I'm going to make you take back what you said about me being a bad shot. I'm going to win at that shooting match.
Oh, well, I don't mind going, but couldn't we buy a turkey and bring it up there? You know, just in case.
Now, stop worrying, Peg. I guarantee to bring in a turkey. If I don't, I'll eat my hat.
Save the crown for me, Pop.
Junior. Hello?
Oh, hello, Riley. I'm glad I got you in time. This is Gillis.
Well, hurry up, Gillis. We're just leaving for the woods. The family's outside waiting for me.
Oh, I got bad news, Riley.
Huh?
I just heard that the turkey shoot's been called off.
Huh? They can't do this to me. What am I going to do now?
Call the trip off.
I can't back out now. I've been bragging so much about what a good shot I am. If I don't win a turkey, I'm a dead duck.
Hurry up, Riley.
I'm coming. I got to go now, Gillis. Maybe I'll think of something on my way to the station.
Who was that on the phone?
Gillis.
Oh, is anything wrong?
No.
Well, then why are you looking so gloomy?
Well, Gillis was just telling me about a nice family he knows that may be without a turkey for Thanksgiving.
Hello,
In a moment, we'll find out if Riley can wriggle out of his dilemma. But right now, this is Ken Niles, your Minuteman for meat. And my minute's worth tonight is on this question. What can you do about the cuts of meat you can't get these war days? And the answer is, you braise the cuts of beef you do get. You see, our government is taking a big part of beef steaks and beef roasts these days to feed our fighters. So, a lot of the beef left for us on the home front is what we call the braising cuts. They're lean, and you must prepare them a little more thoroughly if you want to serve them at their best. So, the American Meat Institute recommends braising. Now, braising is a little like roasting, and it's a little like frying. It's accomplished through low heat over a longer time and on top of the stove. You pan brown your short ribs or flank steak or pot roast or whatever you're braising. You add liquid, put on the cover, and let her braise. And boy, oh boy, braised beef, brown, glistening, drenched with gravy, tender though lean, is something to kiss your cook about. So, ladies, if you're hungry for kisses or compliments or just plain hungry, braise that beef. Remember, the braising cuts of beef are rich in proteins of highest quality, just as all cuts of meat. All meat is a yardstick of protein foods because all meat measures up to every protein need. It's Thanksgiving morning, and the Rileys are at Digger Odell's cabin in the woods. Riley, determined to keep up his big bluff that his shooting skill will get him a turkey, is tramping through the woods, gun in hand, with Junior.
Junior, I don't know why you had to come along. You're going to make me nervous when I'm aiming at the target.
Oh, I'm sticking with you, Pop. I want to see how you do in that shooting match.
Don't even trust your own father.
Hey, Pop, what? You said the turkey shoot was being held near Hooper Falls. We're going the wrong way. Look, there's a station.
Yeah, I know. Junior, look, we gotta have a father and son talk. It's time you knew something. I can't put it off any longer.
Oh, you mean you're gonna tell me about the bees and the flowers?
Now, Junior, about the birds. One particular bird, a turkey. Look, Junior, we always been good friends. With us, it's been one for all and every man for himself. It's always going to be that way, right?
Okay, Pop. What is it you don't want me to tell Mom?
Well, you don't have to be so blunt. But you see, the turkey shoot was called off.
You mean we aren't going to have a turkey?
Well, it looked that way at first, but just before we got on the train, I got a big idea. I phoned Jake's meat market from the depot, and I fixed it with Jake to ship a turkey up here on the morning train. Now I pick it up at the station and tell your mother I won it at the turkey shoot. Ha, 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 what a rib.
What a fib.
Well, after we're all full of turkey, I'm going to tell the truth.
Oh, and here's the station, Pop.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh, I don't see it outside, and the station's locked.
Well, somebody's got to be here. How am I going to get my turkey? Wait. Here's a note on the window here. Closed today. Closed? No, they can't do this to me.
Oh, Pop, now we ain't going to have any turkey, and it's Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Junior, for keeping me informed.
Oh, well, Pop, let's go home.
Oh, Junior, I can't go home without a turkey, so now I'm really going hunting.
But, Pop, there's no turkeys in these woods.
Well, there's other game to hunt. There's deer.
Deer? But we'll never get it home. A deer's too big.
Well, all right, then. I'll shoot a rabbit. They're smaller.
Oh, you couldn't shoot a rabbit. They're too fast.
Yeah, well, then keep your eye open for a turtle.
Gosh, turtle.
Well, I heard it's very tasty. We can have turtle drumsticks and stuff the shell with chestnuts. Come on.
Well, if you ask me, we're on a wild goose chase.
Well, if we get a wild goose, that's better than nothing. Come on.
Gee, we've been walking for 4 hours, and here we are, back at the train track.
Yeah. My feet would give their right arm to get out of my shoes. Junior.
What?
Did you ever hear of a mirage that looked like a turkey?
No, Pop.
Then look where I'm pointing. And if you see what I see, I'm going to shoot.
It's a bird, okay, Pop. Listen.
It's a turkey. A big gobbler. Junior, stand back. I'm taking aim.
Pop, you're shaking. Should I hold a gun still?
No, you better go hold the turkey. No. No, stay here. Get behind me, Junior.
Let me shoot it, Pop.
No. Look out. Now, I got a bead on him. I see him under the gun sight.
Pop, he's coming toward us.
I won't shoot till I see the white meat of his eye. One, two.
You missed him.
I couldn't have missed.
Well, open your eyes and look. He's still coming at you, Pop.
I'll get him this time. Ha! Pick him up, Junior.
You didn't even touch him. And now he's running toward us.
Junior, he's surrendering. He knows when he's licked. What's it?
Gosh, Pop. Yes. I think he likes you.
I can't shoot no bird that gives himself up, can I? Now, go away, turkey. Shoot. Right. Turkey, stop trying to kiss me. Go on.
Hey, Pop, look, there's a tag on his leg.
Well, read it.
Well, let's see. My name is Sultan. I belong to Patty Kane, age 7. Please do not feed me.
Feed him? I wanted him to feed me.
Gosh, what a Thanksgiving. No turkey.
Well, it ain't right. I'm a law-abiding man. Don't I do my work? Don't I buy war bonds? Don't I let the government withhold my tax? But I have to go without turkey on Thanksgiving. It ain't right.
Boy, that cabin sure looks good, don't it, Pop?
Well, I gotta go in and explain to your mother about no turkey. This is what I get for trying to be a smart aleck. Huh? Here goes.
Riley, Junior, where have you been?
Well, Peg, I've been thinking. Why don't we all go on a diet? Starting today, a foodless diet.
Well, we can talk about it after dinner. Meanwhile, the turkey's getting cold.
I think, did you say turkey?
Of course, turkey. The dining room on the table.
Turkey? Gosh, Junior, look, what a turkey.
Oh, Mom, did you shoot it?
Yeah, Peg, how,
That was some joke you played on us, Riley, you clever thing. Station master said you had it shipped up here from town, and he knew we'd want it today. Brought it here himself.
Yeah. Ain't that ironical?
Hey, Pop, your neck's getting red.
That sunburn left over from last summer, Junior.
Well, dinner's ready, Daddy.
Okay, folks, grab your chairs. Every man for himself. Come on, follow out there.
Oh, it looks delicious.
Start carving, Pop.
Okay, let me have that carving knife. Dr. Riley wanted in surgery. Folks, just to make sure everybody gets enough turkey, I'm going to give you your second helpings first.
Riley.
Huh?
Haven't you forgotten something?
Huh? Oh. Oh, yeah. I almost forgot. Here it is. Another Thanksgiving day. We have plenty to thank you for. For our food and for our work that earns it. And most of all, for all of us being here together. Some families are pretty far apart today. If you could see your way clear to bring them back together again pretty soon now, we'd be mighty grateful for that, too. We thank you for letting us live in a country where there'll always be a Thanksgiving Day. And if you'll help us, well, we'll do all we can so that someday there won't be any place in the world where people can't live in peace with each other. Amen.
Amen.
Riley will be back in a moment with your favorite Hollywood correspondent, Jimmy Fiddler. And remember, folks, all meat, regardless of cut or kind, has the right kind of proteins to build and rebuild body tissues. That's what makes meat a yardstick of protein foods. It measures up to every protein need. And may I add, the nutritional statements just made about meat are accepted by the Council on Foods and Nutrition of the American Medical Association.
Attaboy, Ken. Folks, this is Bill Bendix welcoming Jimmy Fiddler, who has a special message for us. So, Jimmy, on behalf of all the Rileys, welcome. Our microphone is yours.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, Thanksgiving Day is almost here. Perhaps if you have loved ones overseas, and if there'll be empty chairs at your table on Thanksgiving, you may think you haven't much for which to be grateful. Perhaps food rationing, gas rationing, shortages here and shortages there have aggravated you. If that's true, open your minds and your hearts. We Americans have plenty to be thankful for. We can be thankful that we have freedom of the speech. We can be grateful for free press, for free screen and radio, freedom of to worship God as we wish. Thankful that we can laugh and can speak our minds without fear. That we can say no, not be forced to say yes at the point of a bayonet, like the people of Germany and Japan. We can be thankful that our cities and homes haven't been bombed, and that our babies haven't gone hungry. We can be thankful that the men who lead us today are now determined that there shall be no more wars, no more death and tragedy and famine. Let's protect this magnificent freedom and prove our thanks by buying war bonds, buying them till our pocketbooks are pinched. Good night.
The Life of Riley, starring William Bendix and sponsored by the American Meat Institute, next week at this same time.
This is the Blue Network.
You're listening to KECA, Los Angeles.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have the rollicking, over-the-top humor in questionable taste that made Abbott and Costello famous. They do a pun-studded send-up of the Pilgrims in this Thanksgiving-themed show, as well as a football crosstalk routine that echoes their famous Who's on First for baseball. Enjoy the Abbott and Costello Show, first broadcast November 25th, 1948, on ABC.
Hey, Abbott, what time is it?
It's time for the Abbott and Costello Show. We're on the air for ABC here in Hollywood.
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's go with the Abbott and Costello Show.
Yes, it's the Abbott and Costello Show, produced and transcribed in Hollywood for your listening and laughing pleasure. Chuckles with a carload and music by Matty Malnick. So hold on to your chairs, folks, for here they are, Bud Abbott and Lou Costello.
All right. What's up? What's up tonight?
I beg your pardon?
I say, what's up tonight?
Well, I want to tell you, I took my Aunt Meg to the football game at the Coliseum this afternoon.
Yes.
At the end of the first quarter, a drunk came in and yelled, "Whose game?" Aunt Meg jumped up and says, "I am."
Your Aunt Meg doesn't know much about football, does she?
Oh, she thinks the rooting section is the front end of a pig.
She does.
She does. Abbott.
What?
Which end is?
You don't know much about football yourself, do you?
Oh, are you kidding? You should have seen me in college, Abbott. I was a triple threat man. I could run, kick, and pass. Boy, I could really throw it in those days.
You're not doing so bad tonight, either.
One time I made 30 touchdowns in the last 10 seconds of the game.
Wait a minute. How could you make 30 touchdowns in 10 seconds?
I had to. My mother had a bet on the game. You know, the quarterback would drop back, and then the left guard tackle and left end would open up a hole, and a hole big enough you could drive a truck through.
And what did you do?
I drove the truck. Once I caught a kickoff and started down the field, there were only 21 men between me and the goalpost.
21 men?
Yes, even my teammates hated me.
That's enough, Costello. I don't think you know the first thing about football. Tell me, what is an unbalanced line?
An unbalanced line?
Yes.
Sidney Greenstreet's belt.
Furthermore, I don't think you were even at a football game this afternoon.
Oh, yes, I was. During the halftime, a section of the bleachers where all the co-eds were sitting collapsed, and I dashed over.
Did you render first aid?
Yes, sir. I picked up a cute little blonde and started carrying her out when a fella says, "Here, give her to me." And I said, "Nothing doing, brother. There's plenty more back there. Go get your own."
Oh, get him out of here.
Well, there's a sample of the high-grade nonsense you'll be hearing for the next half hour. But before we get back to it, listen to this.
Beautiful suit you're wearing tonight.
I like it myself.
You look like a rhapsody in brown.
All right, never mind that. Look, where have you been all day, Lou?
Huh?
Where have you been all day?
Well, I'll tell you, I was helping my Aunt May. She refurnished the whole house for Thanksgiving.
Well, what kind of furniture did she get?
Chairs, tables, and beds.
No. I mean, what period is the furniture? Louis the 14th, colonial, or late French provincial?
It's early army surplus.
What?
Don't hop on!
Does Uncle Mike like the furniture?
Yes, especially the four-poster bed. Last night he kicked her over the end of the... He kicked her right over the end of the four-poster bed.
Why in the world did he do a thing like that?
He dreamed he was playing for Notre Dame and his team needed the extra point.
Your Uncle Mike is just like you. You're both dopes.
Yeah, my Uncle Mike is no dope, Abbott. He happens to be a very clever inventor. He just invented a new kind of motorcycle and it's so fast. Get this. This motorcycle is so fast that you can get on it in Los Angeles at midnight and be in Cucamonga at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Is that so?
Yeah, but there's only one thing wrong with it.
What's that?
Who wants to be in Cucamonga at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Well, that just proves what I've always said. Your Uncle Mike is a shiftless loafer. He gambles away every cent that he gets.
Oh, no, he reformed that, but he's never going to shoot dice or play cards again.
He said that before.
I know, but this time a judge said it.
Does Uncle Mike still drink as much as ever, Lou?
Nah, now he quits when he's had enough.
How can he tell when he's had enough?
Well, he sits across the table from Aunt May, and he sits there with a big butt and he starts drinking. The minute Aunt May starts looking good to him, he knows he's had enough.
Hey, Lou, does your Uncle Mike and Aunt May fight as much as they used to?
No, but they had an argument yesterday. She clouted him in the puss and then kicked him in the stomach.
Kicked him in the stomach?
Yeah, but that was his fault. He turned around.
Does your Uncle Mike still work for the orange growers, Lou?
Oh, yes, yes. A very important man in the orange business, Abbott. He's the only guy that can tell a California orange from a Florida orange.
How does he do it?
Well, he cuts an orange in half, holds it over a map of the United States, and squeezes it. If it's a California orange, it squirts all over Florida.
Look, Lou.
Yes.
Did you have a good Thanksgiving dinner?
Well, I'll tell you as soon as I get to it. Yes, I did. I found it. Yes. But we didn't have any turkey.
You didn't have a turkey? Why not?
By the time I got to the butcher's, all the finance companies were closed.
You mean to tell me that the price of turkeys is that high?
Are the prices high?
Yeah.
There was one woman in a butcher shop that didn't buy anything. and that weighed 2 pounds.
Look, never mind that. Did you buy a turkey?
I handed the butcher $2 and says, what kind of turkey can I buy for that? And he handed me an egg.
An egg?
Yeah.
An egg.
Hey, so go sit on that and hatch out your own turkey. What do you think I got? I got a duck.
A duck? Will you please talk sense? Well, where did you eat your Thanksgiving dinner?
Over at the YWCA.
The YWCA? Why, men aren't allowed in there.
I know, but I love to go there. It takes so many of them to throw you out.
You wanted to have Thanksgiving dinner with a girl. Why didn't you make a date with my wife? My wife's twin sister, Ella.
Abbott, when I sit down at the table for Thanksgiving, I want to see a turkey, not an old crow.
Ella's a lovely girl. Now, if you want to make a hit with her, why don't you buy her a box of candy? You know, she has a sweet tooth.
I know, I've seen it. Too bad she hasn't got some more to go with it.
Gentlemen, I've got a few turkeys left over from the Thanksgiving rush. Would you like to buy one?
What kind of turkeys have you got?
I've got Texas turkeys and Vermont turkeys.
How do you tell them what?
The Vermont turkeys are still wearing Hoover buttons.
I don't think we'd be interested. Turkeys are too high this year.
Well, then, how about buying a raffle ticket on a great big turkey for a quarter?
I'll take two of them. Here's a half a buck.
Thanks. Here's your tickets for the biggest turkey in town.
Wait, just a minute. Whoa. These aren't tickets for a turkey. These tickets are for the Abbott and Costello radio show.
Do you know of a bigger turkey?
Dirty trick. He can't get away with that, Abbott. I'll break every bone in his body. Where did he go?
Right through that door.
He did, huh?
Yeah.
Open up that door.
Well, the door is open. What are you going to do about it? What do you want?
I just wanted to say goodbye.
Costello, it's a shame. Thanksgiving Day is nearly over, and you didn't even get a turkey.
Someday I'll be rich. Someday I'll have plenty of money. And when I do, I'll get a seat on the Chicago Stockyard.
You mean stock exchange?
I mean stockyard. When all that meat comes in, I want to be there.
Costello, I'm afraid you'll never have any money. You don't know the value of a dollar.
How can I? Every time I learn the value of a dollar, some guy in Washington changes it.
Happy Thanksgiving, boys.
Look, Costello, it's our secretary, Viola Vaughn.
Viola, you look beautiful. How about you and me stepping out after the show?
Oh, tonight? Gee, I'll be tied up at home tonight.
Good. Maybe you'll be more fun that way. I'll come over and untie you.
Viola, you must be very busy. Every time Costello asks you for a date, you're busy.
Well, I am busy. Mondays, I go to gym class. Tuesdays, I play golf. Wednesdays, I go horseback riding. And when I have nothing on, I go swimming.
You couldn't pick a better time for it.
On second thought, this is Thanksgiving, and I'm kind of hungry for a date.
Then why not go out with me?
Abbott, she says she's hungry. She's not starving.
Now, suppose I did invite you over to my house tonight, Costello. What would you do?
Oh, well, we'd play games. We'd play, like, hide-and-seek, maybe post office.
Right? Oh, that's a kid's game.
Not the way I play it.
All right, now, wait a minute.
Well, how do you play hide-and-seek?
Well, first you count up to 10, then run and hide in the closet. And then I count up to 10 and run and I hide in the closet. It's a lot of fun.
Wait a minute. Where does the fun come in?
We both run to the same closet.
Nah, Costello, I don't think I'll invite you over. You're too fickle.
What do you mean?
Well, last week after the rehearsal, you were taking a nap, and I sneaked in, and you were dreaming and saying, no, Rita, no, Rita, I won't kiss you. No, no, no.
So what?
My name is not Rita.
What are you kicking about? I said no, didn't I?
Viola was right. You are fickle. You're always flirting with girls. Last night, I saw you driving down Hollywood Boulevard, and you winked at a girl.
I only winked because something got in my eye.
And she got in your car, too.
Well, I'm surprised at you two arguing over girls.
Yeah, right, Viola. Yeah. They aren't worth it. Women are responsible for a lot of stupid things.
Shame on you, Abbott, bringing your mother into this conversation.
You idiot. Why don't you find yourself a girl and get married?
Viola,
You're the kind of a girl I'd love to be married to.
Oh, why do you want to marry me?
Being married to you would be wonderful. We could have 10 children.
10 children?
Yes, and if we like them the second year, we could have 10 more.
Miola, it would be silly to marry you. All you do is chase girls.
Mr. Abbott is right, Costello. I understand that you've kissed every blonde in Hollywood.
I have not.
Well, all right. Name one blonde in Hollywood you haven't kissed.
I'll name two. Alan Ladd and Van Johnson.
You idiot. Alan Ladd and Van Johnson wouldn't kiss you.
They wouldn't?
No, they wouldn't.
Okay, I'll scratch their names out of my book.
See, Viola, I was right. Costello's not the guy for you. He has no brains, he has no looks, and he has no money.
I'm beginning to think you're right.
Just a minute. Now listen here, Abbott. If you don't stop crabbing me with girls, I'm going to hide your corkscrew.
No! No! No!
Ah, the plot thickens. Before it gets too thick, let's interrupt it for another reminder on a serious subject.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's our new singer, Hal Winters. Let's give Hal a nice big hand.
A nice big hand for Hal Winters.
Thanks a million thanks to you for everything that love could bring you brought me. Each tender love word you happen to say is hidden away in memory's bouquet. Thanks a million, for I remember too the tenderness that your caresses taught me. You made a million dreams come true, and so I'm saying thanks a million to you. For I remember too the tenderness that your caresses taught me. You made a million dreams come true, saying thanks a million to you.
Costello, Costello, come over here. What are you doing out there in the hall?
Hey, Abbott, the employees of the network just raffled off a turkey, and my number was 118964326592.
And
the fella standing right next to me, he had number 118964326591.
So he said to me, I'll trade you my number 118964326591
yes.
for your number 118964
So?
So I traded him my number 118964 for his number 113964326592.
Well, who won the turkey?
One of the vice presidents with ticket number 3. But I don't care, Rabbit. I don't like turkeys anyway. If all the turkeys in the world were laid end to end, that's the part I would get.
Well, you know, Lou, my wife is crazy about turkey. Today when she sat down at the table, she had a turkey neck.
Why don't she wear a muffler? Nobody would notice it.
Nonsense. What's that roll of paper under your arm?
That's a Thanksgiving play we're going to do for the people tonight. And I wrote it myself.
Well, what's the name of your play?
I call it The Brave Little Band of Pilgrims Who Landed on Honest John's Rock.
Yeah, dummy, that's Plymouth Rock.
How do you like that? Even in those days, Honest John was the only one that could get a Plymouth.
Never mind that. Let's get along with the play.
And now, for our hero Lou Costello's play, we take you back to the year 1620, where we find a brave little band of adventurers aboard the good ship Mayflower. The brave captain has eaten nothing but fish. Nothing but fish for 90 days. But that doesn't faze him. Let's listen to this fish phase.
First mate John Alden Costello, where are you?
Here I am, Captain Miles Standish Abbott.
We've had some pretty tough weather. How's the ship holding up?
I have a report on the mizzenmast.
What about the mizzenmast?
It's been mizzen for 3 days.
Look out! There's a note stuck to that dagger. Aha! There's mutiny among the men. Read this note, First Mate John Alden Costello.
The First Mate is a dirty landlubber, and he should drop dead. Which one of you swabs wrote this?
I did, sir.
Give that man 20 lashes and a box of Snickers.
I know what we'll do. We'll put the whole crew on bread and water.
Why pamper them? Let them eat the regular food. Captain Miles Standish Abbott, me thinks you made a mistake. When we left England, I think you forgot to untie the boat from the dock.
What makes you say that?
Just look behind us. We're in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and people are still waving goodbye to us.
Look, John Alden Costello, there's land ahead. We should be proud. The Mayflower has broken all records for the Atlantic crossing.
Yes, we beat the Queen Elizabeth by 326 years.
Thank Columbus for showing us the way. He marked the route.
That's funny. I didn't see a Burma shave sign all the way across.
John Alden Costello, watch where you're steering the boat.
Don't worry, Captain Miles Standish Abbott. I know every reef along this coast. There's one now.
You idiot. That's the shore. Quick, drop the anchor.
Aye, aye, sir. Here she goes.
John Alden Costello, what are you doing down there in the water?
What are you asking me for? Why don't you ask the sound man? He just got soaked.
What are you doing down there in the water?
I forgot to let go of the anchor.
So the little boat Mayflower made the crossing. The shore was deserted. No Indians came down to greet them. It was 7 o'clock on a Sunday night. All the Indians were home in their wigwams. Listen. They're all trying to guess the mystery tune on Stop the Tom Tom. First Mate John Alden Costello drops the gangplank, and down the runway comes the beautiful Priscilla.
John Alden Costello, honey bun, just think of it. You and I are the first people to set foot on this new land. This virgin territory belongs to no one.
Priscilla, my love, are you sure this land belongs to no one? Look what it says on that rock.
What?
Los Angeles city limits.
Don Alton Costello, our people are starving. We must go into the woods and get food for our little band of pilgrims.
Look over there, Abbott. There's a field of corn.
That's Indian corn. That's maize.
You think May would mind if we take a little?
What are you talking about?
You just said the corn belonged to May.
I did not. I said the corn was May's.
Then it's May's corn.
That's right.
Well, what's wrong with finding May and asking for some of her corn?
I didn't say the corn belonged to May. I merely said the corn was May's.
How do you like that? Here it is, the year is 1620, and this guy is starting a routine.
Stella, May's is Indian corn. The Indians grind their own corn.
Those Indians are smart. We pay riders to grind ours.
Uh-oh. Here comes an Indian. Now be friendly and say hello to him.
How do you say hello to an Indian?
How?
I asked you first.
I just told you.
Told me what?
How?
If I knew how, I wouldn't be asking you.
What did you ask me?
How?
Now you've got it.
Got it. Now I'm really mixed up.
Stella, they may be after our scalps. Look, there's a note tied on that arrow.
I'll read it. Men, are you slowly losing your hair? See Chief Tomahawk and lose it all at once.
Costello, here comes an Indian, and he has his hand raised. Say something to him.
Chief, you can go now.
Ugh, me scout. Me chief, cheap underwear.
Why did he call you chief, cheap underwear?
Me creep up on you. Step him aside and make way for Big Chief.
That must have been a super chief.
Watch him language, pale face. Meet him, Big Chief, running water.
He looks like a big drip.
Chief, meet my friend, John Alden Costello.
Are you gay? Are you gay?
Abbott, we gotta get better actors. You dummy, you're reading that wrong. That's Oak.
Listen, Tubby, I've got as much right to play an Indian as you have to play John Alden.
Oh, yeah? I'll have you know that my great-grandfather goes back to Martha, Washington.
He does?
Yes, of course, he only goes back there when George isn't home.
Oh, who cares about that? I've got troubles of my own. Why, only this morning I was sending up some smoke signals to my sweetheart, Pocahontas.
And what happened?
Her father came along and put out my fire. Well, I've got to go now, and as we say in Indian, you fa da umstead amahawk to you.
And your father's busted tomahawk to you, too.
John Alden Costello, I haven't the courage to propose to the fair Priscilla. You, as my best friend, must do it for me.
You mean you want me to make love to the fair Priscilla for you?
Yes.
He doesn't know me very well, does he, folks?
Go into Priscilla's cabin, John Alden Costello. Propose to her. Propose to her for me. Tell her I'm a soldier. And if she refuses me, I'll go back to the bottle.
You mean you'll go back to the battle?
You go back to what you like, and I'll go back to what I like.
Ah, John Alden Costello, my little bouncing Boston baked bean.
Ah, Priscilla, my little tomato. Smother me with the ketchup of your kisses. When I'm close to you like this, something cold seems to spread all over me.
It does.
Yes, you dropped your popsicle down the back of my neck.
Pray tell me, why have you come here?
To propose to you for my dear friend, Miles Standish Abbott, the poor broken-down guy. He couldn't come himself. He's all shot. He's practically falling apart. He can't even read a straight line anymore.
And he's got plenty of company, too.
Priscilla, my love. I'm not used to straight lines either. Priscilla, my love. You couldn't go for him, could you?
Are you proposing for him?
Sure.
It must be wonderful to have a true, devoted friend like you.
If Miles Standish Abbott had another friend like me, he wouldn't need any enemies.
Oh, why don't you speak for yourself, John Alden Costello, honey?
I'd love to marry you, Priscilla.
But I can't. I'm already married.
Wait a minute, Costello. We're doing a story from history. And the history books say that John Alden was a bachelor.
That was before the historians found out about John's other wife.
Oh, let me out of here.
Don't go away, folks. Our madmen aren't through with you yet. Right now, they want you to hear this.
Doing our Thanksgiving play, we didn't get a chance to do our Sam Shovel detective mysteries tonight.
That's right, Abbott, but Sam Shovel will be back next Thursday night.
Well, what is your Sam Shovel story for next week?
Well, it's one of my liveliest cases. I call it the case of the chorus girls who went swimming in their underwear or down to the sea in slips.
Well, that's about all for tonight, Costello.
All except telling the folks about our swell gang that helps put the show together. Our writing staff is headed by Eddie Foreman with Paul Conlon, Pat Costello, Martin Ragaway, and Leonard Stern.
And let's not forget our capable producer, Charles Vander.
And let's not forget to say goodnight.
Good night, folks.
Good night to everybody in Patterson. Good night!
Listen each Thursday night at this time for another great Abbott and Costello show, produced and transcribed in Hollywood. Be sure to stay tuned for the outstanding entertainment which follows throughout the evening on this ABC station.
Here's a bonus track, part of a Thanksgiving comedy routine by Fanny Bryce as Baby Snooks on Maxwell House Good News. First broadcast November 21st, 1940 on NBC.
And now, with the magic touch of radio, we transport you all to the home of Baby Snooks.
Well, Snooks, it's bedtime.
I'm sleepy, Daddy.
Just the same, you've got to go to bed.
Why?
Because everybody has to sleep. It's impossible to burn the candle at both ends.
Which candle?
No candle, it's just an allegorical expression.
Let's burn it, Daddy.
Snooks, there's nothing to burn.
Why?
When you hear of a person burning the candle at both ends, he hasn't really got a candle and he's not burning either end.
Is he burning in the middle?
No, it's just a symbolic phrase. Now, come on. You've had a wonderful Thanksgiving dinner. You've played with your toys. Now it's time to go to sleep.
I want some more turkey.
More turkey?
Yeah, from both ends.
Now, look here, Snooks. If you eat another mouthful of turkey, you'll burst.
Will I?
Certainly. You ate enough to feed an army. One more piece and you'd positively explode.
Well, give me a piece and hide behind the door.
No, no more turkey.
I want some turkey.
It'll poison you.
I want some poison.
Now, don't try to bribe me. Come on, get your things off, Snooks.
I don't want.
Oh, please. Here's the wishbone. You can have this.
There's no turkey on it.
Well, you can make a wish with it. You take one end and I'll take the other. And whoever gets the largest piece gets a wish. Now, come on. Pull.
All right. I got it, Daddy.
Fine. Now you can have whatever you wish for.
Can I?
Yes. What did you wish for?
More turkey.
All right, you little glutton. I'll give you some more turkey.
Will you give me some white meat?
Yes, I'll give you some white meat.
I don't like white meat.
All right, then, I'll give you dark meat.
I don't want no dark meat.
Well, for heaven's sake, what do you want?
Cranberry sauce.
Now, that's enough, Snooks. I'm not going to let you drive me crazy tonight.
Why?
Because this is one day of the year, I don't want to have to spank you. It's Thanksgiving, and we should all be joyful.
When's Christmas?
After Thanksgiving.
I want Christmas to come first.
Well, you can't change the holidays around.
What holiday?
People make holidays to celebrate big events. George Washington's birthday is a holiday. Lincoln's birthday is a holiday.
How did they get born on holidays?
They didn't get born on holidays.
You said they did.
No, no. They were born on ordinary days, but they became so famous that people celebrate their birthdays as holidays.
Oh.
Take George Washington, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why do people celebrate his birthday and not mine?
Because he never told a lie.
No. Because he was a famous president, and I'm just a nonentity. I'm nothing at all. Just another drab, colorless human piece of flotsam.
I think you're wonderful, Daddy.
Thanks. Oh, well, at any rate, people make these holidays, and we all celebrate. And it gives little girls like you a chance to stay home from school. Is that clear?
It's clear. Oh. Daddy.
What?
I ain't going to school tomorrow.
Why not?
Because I just made a holiday.
You made a holiday?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are you going to celebrate?
My pussycat's birthday.
Oh, that's ridiculous. A national holiday is only for a great event. What did your pussycat do that called for a holiday?
She had 6 kittens.
Well, there's nothing remarkable about that.
Could you do it?
Now, listen, Snooks. I'm trying to explain to you that a national holiday must be some great occasion. Like Thanksgiving Day.
What?
Well, if you get undressed and get into bed, I'll tell you the whole story.
Aye.
Well, to begin with, some states celebrate Thanksgiving a week earlier than others.
Why?
I don't know. You'll have to ask the president.
Call him up, Daddy.
No, not now. Thanksgiving used to be the last Thursday in November. That's the day when the pilgrims landed in America.
They landed last Thursday?
Yes.
I want to see them.
Oh, you can't see them.
Why?
Because they're all dead. They started out for America over 300 years ago.
And they just got here last Thursday?
No, they didn't get here last Thursday. They got here in 1760. It was over 300 years ago that they arrived.
Who did?
The pilgrims. So now we celebrate their arrival by killing a turkey. And everybody's supposed to be thankful.
The turkey, too?
The turkeys don't know about Thanksgiving. We use the turkey as a symbol because that's the first food the pilgrims found.
Who's the pilgrims?
The people who first came here. They landed on Plymouth Rock.
The turkey?
No, the pilgrims. On Plymouth Rock.
Who's he?
Who's he? Plymouth Rock. The rock they landed on.
Who did the rock land on?
The rock didn't land on anybody. They landed on the rock.
Who landed?
The pilgrims!
Why?
Because they'd been traveling on the ocean for over 6 weeks. And they were...
Who traveled?
The pilgrims! That's why they were happy when they landed at Plymouth Rock. That's over 300 years ago. And the name of the boat was the Mayflower.
Were you with them, Daddy?
Oh, of course not. Do I look that old?
Oh, no.
Well, I wasn't with them. But I'm proud to say my forefathers were.
Did you have forefathers?
Why, certainly everybody has forefathers.
Me too?
Yes.
Where's the other three?
Oh, don't start that. I'm talking about my ancestors, my forebears.
Your ancestors had 4 bears?
Sure.
How many bears did your uncle have?
My uncle didn't have any bears. Nobody had any bears. My ancestors were my forebears. Understand?
Understand.
Well, what do I mean?
Your aunt had 4 sisters, and they were all bears.
That's right. Now I'll go to sleep.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. And we're also on YouTube. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for now.